I wonder, why don't people believe in Jesus? Why don't people believe in Jesus? Now, maybe you're here this morning and you don't follow Jesus. Well, why is that? There are various reasons that you might give. Life is good. You may say, life is really good. Would Jesus really make it any better? Or you think life is comfortable. Money meets all your needs. You have everything that you need. You don't need God. Or you might blame God for suffering or hardship or the troubles that you face. Or you question God for why he allows things to happen in your life and why he doesn't intervene. And there are other reasons too why you might not believe in Jesus. But as we come to the Bible this morning, Jesus gives us the answer to why people don't follow him. We're starting a new mini-series. You might have picked up on that this morning. Looking at Matthew chapter 13, going through the parables of Jesus that he told. We're going to look at these for 3 consecutive weeks before we then return to Romans for the rest of the term. We are then going to pick up the parables for 3 evening services in a couple of months' time. Now, for those who aren't familiar with parables or what they are, they are essentially familiar everyday stories or illustrations that Jesus told to people which have a spiritual meaning. So Jesus tells parables to inform of something spiritual about the kingdom of heaven, his kingdom. This morning we're looking at one of the better known parables, that of the sower. And it's about a farmer sowing seeds. And it's an important parable. Mark, in his gospel, records Jesus saying to his disciples, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?" The parable of the sower is the key to all the other parables. Now, before we get into the parable, let's just set the scene in Matthew. So opposition has been building, opposition towards Jesus, especially through chapters 11 and 12. So if you've got a Bible, please look at it with me. And we're going to look at a few verses in Matthew chapter 11 and 12. So if you look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 19... Jesus quotes what the people are saying about him, and they say, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking," and they say, "Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Then the next verse, 11:20, Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. There was no heart change in any of the towns Jesus was going to. Then if you come down with me to chapter 12 and verse 14, Jesus heals on the Sabbath. So verse 14 of chapter 12, "But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus." Down to verse 24 of chapter 12, "The Pharisees accused Jesus of being Beelzebul, the prince of demons." And that's how he drives out other demons. Verse 39, 2 more of chapter 12. "The Pharisees come to Jesus with the teachers of the law, and Jesus calls them a wicked and adulterous generation." Then in verse 45, we get the same again at the end of verse 45, "this wicked generation." There's lots and lots of opposition to Jesus, but there is also acceptance of him. In verses 46 to 50 of chapter 12, Jesus' family come to him while he is talking to the crowd, and he looks at his disciples. And Jesus says, "Those who do the will of my Father in heaven are my family." The disciples have accepted who Jesus is. So the contrast has been building when we come to the parables in chapter 13. Now, chapter 13, verse 1, sets the scene for us. Jesus comes out the house and sits by Lake Galilee. Such a vast crowd comes that Jesus has to get in a boat, probably with the disciples, and Jesus tells the crowd before him on the shore many parables. The first one is about farming. The farmer, he goes out to sow the seed. I feel like I'm being a bit repetitive, but it's good to hear this. The farmer goes out to sow the seed, and it falls in four places. Now the crowd would easily be able to visualize this. In this culture, farming was everywhere. Some on the path, some on rocky places, some on thorns, and some on good soil. Now, the seed on the path was quickly eaten by birds. Do you know, I can relate to that. I sowed some seeds last year. We had a vegetable patch. The seed was far too visible. It wasn't protected, and the birds were very grateful. I learned my lesson. The seeds on rocky places, they sprang up quickly in shallow soil, but the sun scorched the plants. Thank you. And they withered. Some people were listening. There were no roots. The seed on thorns, these grew up, but as the thorns grew, these choked the plants. Now, choked is the same word as suffocate or drown. It's serious. The good soil, however, produced a good crop. At last, success. 30, 60, 100 what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And Jesus stops. This is the parable, the earthly story. And everyone can understand it as that. They can picture the farmer and the seed on different ground. And we're not told, but maybe the crowd left thinking about what this might mean. Bouncing ideas off each other, thinking about it. We're not told. But here endeth the lesson to the crowd. The disciples came to Jesus and asked a great question in verse 10. Why do you speak to the people in parables? And I think underneath they are asking Jesus, how can they understand what that means? Now, it's worth saying that parables were normal in those days. There were parables in the Old Testament. One of the best known is in 2 Samuel chapter 12. It's after King David commits adultery and murder. Nathan the prophet tells a parable about a rich man mistreating a poor man with the famous line, "You are the man." The crowd and the disciples were used to this kind of teaching and storytelling. But we need an explanation. So in verse 11, Jesus gives his answer. "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, the disciples, but not to them." So in these parables, Jesus tells a truth about the kingdom of heaven. And we're told this truth has only been given to the disciples. Verse 12, "Whoever has, more will be given in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken." What does that mean? So when I was at school, I learnt French. I was reasonably good. I could string some sentences together. I could understand French. Why? Well, I learned it every week. I practiced it. We even had some school trips to France. If I had continued, I could have been fluent by now, even lived in France. But for the last 20 years, I've done nothing with it. So I've gradually lost it. I can barely speak any French now. For those who hear, who don't do anything with what they've heard, even what they have will be taken away. Verse 13, Jesus says, "This is why I speak to the crowds in parables." And he quotes Isaiah 6. "Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." Jesus then says what is happening is fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. They oppose the message. They don't want to listen. They don't try to understand. They do nothing with what they hear. Why does Jesus speak to the crowds in parables? Because they do not want to know. The parables need explanation. But as the preceding chapters of Matthew have shown, these people do not want to listen to what Jesus says or accept who he is. I don't know if you remember Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah was told to go and preach. Remind these people about the Lord. Warn them of the consequences of their actions. And he's told, yes, they will hear, but they will not understand. They will see, but not perceive. Why? And it's quoted in our passage in verse 15. Their hearts are callous or cold or hard. And God told him, they will not listen. They were unresponsive to what Isaiah said. But still, Isaiah was to go. And Jesus says the crowd before him are the same. The crowd have gathered before Jesus, but Jesus sees their heart. As he looks out at them, he is reminded of this prophecy from Isaiah, which is now fulfilled. It's a bit like when you go on a plane, and there is those usual safety announcements telling you where the exits are and how to put on your life jacket so on. How many people really listen to the announcement? It's virtually no one. Yes, in one sense, all the people hear. You cannot fail to hear because they turn the sound up. And yet, in another sense, they don't hear because it goes in one ear and out the other. Upon an accident, they would have to take responsibility for their fate because they heard the safety message and ignored it. Why don't people believe in Jesus? They don't want to. They don't listen. So even what they have, Jesus says, will be taken away. And so who gets more? Who gets the abundance? Well, others, we're told, believe. Verse 16 says, "Blessed are you disciples, because your eyes see and your ears hear." So many prophets and righteous people longed to see and hear as you do, waiting for the Messiah to come. How great for this day to come when he is finally here. And so Jesus calls them blessed. And so they are. At the end of Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord says, "Despite the land being utterly forsaken, stumps are left where the oak was cut. And so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." In other words, a remnant will be saved. And here they are. Jesus sees the disciples and says, here is that remnant. To them, the secrets of the kingdom have been given. And as I thought about this, I asked myself the question, has the spiritual climate changed that much in 2,000 years? So there is a remnant here this morning, but crowds of people are not interested. Thousands of them know who Jesus is. Many of them even sung about Jesus at Christmas. But yet they oppose and will not listen. Things have not changed. Much have they? So verse 18. To the disciples comes the explanation of the parable of the sower. Listen up. The explanation unpacks the following. The seed is the word of God. The sower is the one who brings the word. And the soil is the one who hears the word. The seed on the path. People who hear the message and do not understand. The evil one, Satan, comes and snatches away what was sown. We saw so many visitors come into church over Christmas, which was great. The gospel was faithfully preached at every event. But for so many of them, how quickly the evil one snatches away what was sown. What is encouraging is to see some here this morning who did come and have come back. That's the first ground, the hard soil. The second one, the rocky ground. People hear the word at once, receive it with joy, but there is no root. They do not last. Trouble comes their way, problems, persecution, they wither and fall away. The thorny ground. You hear the word, but the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word and it bears no fruit. Then the good soil. But the good soil. People hear the word, they understand the word, and it bears much fruit. A crop, 100, 60, 30. That sounds good, doesn't it? So where are you this morning? What kind of grounds did the word fall on in your life? And so often the parable is applied like that. If we split the church into four different groups, there are some on the edge, some rocky people, some thorny people, and a core group of good soil. Where would you be? But it's really unhelpful application, to be honest. The first three seeds, where they are sown, they come to nothing. There is no understanding and there is no fruit. Whether it is the evil one, your troubles, or the pressures of life, I don't want anyone to fall away or be unfruitful. None of the leaders of this church want that. In fact, the first three seeds are more likely to represent elements of the crowd. Now, don't hear me wrongly this morning. It's not that we don't go through difficulties and worries as Christians. We know that we do. But the parable is calling for believers who hear the word, who understand it in their hearts and do something with it. Whatever Satan tempts you with or life throws at you, or whatever difficulty comes your way, Jesus wants you to turn to him and trust in him. That is still the believer bearing fruit. So even in one of the darkest psalms in the Bible, Psalm 88, there's affliction, there's trouble, there's rejection. Which way is the psalmist still facing? He's still facing towards God and crying out to him in his troubles. At times, life as a Christian is not easy, but we still want to be facing in the right direction. We exist as a church to make devoted followers of Jesus Christ, those who hear the word and understand it, those who bear fruit in their Christian lives. And that is what we want for every single person who comes to Woodlands. Our prayer is that the word has fallen on good soil, and you will bear much fruit for the kingdom of God. The primary application, if you like, is that some do reject God's word and harden their hearts. To others, the secrets of the kingdom are revealed. These are those where the word has fallen on good soil. But for those here this morning who don't believe in Jesus yet, remember that at some point in time, neither did the disciples. The parable isn't saying the crowds will never come to faith or that change is not possible. The parable just explains the reality before Jesus. There is division. Some oppose and some believe. Here's the thing. Don't let your heart become callous to God's voice. Don't harden your heart. Don't let how you are today remain the same for all eternity. If you have ears, let them hear. See with your eyes, hear with your ears, understand with your heart, and let God heal you. In the next chapter, a huge crowd comes to Jesus, again, 5,000 plus, whom Jesus has compassion on. He feeds them all. Jesus, at the end of his life on earth, still gave up his life. He died on the cross, not just for the disciples, but for the sins of the crowd. Whoever has ears, let them hear. But for those who are followers, let me finish with three points of application. Firstly, this morning, seek to hear the word and understand it. The key word is understand. It's an active word, meaning you do something with what you hear. Stating the obvious, you bear fruit. You produce a crop. The evidence that you are trusting in Jesus is how you live and how you act. Christianity is not a sit-back faith where you just watch the world go by. You were not saved by your good works, but you were saved for good works. We are to live for Jesus every day, bearing fruit, whatever that might be, for his praise and glory. Seek to hear the word and understand it. Secondly, remember that we do not all produce the same crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100. In fact, very few people are on the 100 in church. I think in church especially, we can be so guilty of comparing ourselves with others. We think those as people who are much more spiritual, those who are more active, are the better believer. But we are not all the same. And so please, stop comparing yourselves to other believers and how God might be using them. That doesn't mean be lazy, But if you have heard and understood, to each one, to each person, Jesus says, the secrets of the kingdom have been given to you. He says, you will have an abundance. He says, eternal life belongs to you. Thirdly, be encouraged in your evangelism. Think how much seed was sown. We're not given quantities, but seed went on a variety of places. And only on the good soil did it make a lasting impact. The same is true as we share God's love and his good news with others, whether that's at work, at home, at the shops. We sow seeds, but only some, a fraction, will take root and produce a fruit. We take encouragement, I hope, that Jesus sowed seeds in our hearts at a point in time. We heard and understood and came to faith. Even people like us, what grace we have received. And now he sends us out to keep sowing that seed. Keep sowing, trusting that he, that Jesus, will draw others to come to him and bear fruit for his kingdom. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done in our lives. Thank you for opening our hearts to receive your good news. Lord, we pray that you would help us to live for you day by day. Wherever you place us, the families we might have, the work that you've called us to serve you in, wherever it is, Lord, help us to bear fruit, we pray for you. And we thank you for the way you gift each one of us and use us for your glory. We thank you that some, or many of us, bear different kinds of fruit. We're not all the same, and that is what is wonderful about church and being a body for you. And Lord, we pray very much for anyone here this morning who doesn't yet know you as Lord and Saviour. Please, Lord, let them have ears to hear. Work in their hearts, we pray, today. Amen.